Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Madman actually does exist in real life, as much, you know, just like all the commercial accounts that advertising accounts that they had on the show, they were real as well. But this is Big Sur, California. In the final scenes of Mad Men, they were located at an Esalen or Esalen, Esalen. Institute-like retreat along the California coast. Now, Esalen, or Esalen, opened in the early 1960s on 120 acres along the Big Sur coastline. Now, you can go to this retreat today, a week-long retreat for a couple who stay in a private room or private suite. Starting cost is $6,700 a week. Now, a bunk bed in a shared room costs you about $1,400 a week. It's not cheap. But, excuse me, Esalen is a non-profit, tax-exempt organization whose former teachers include Joan Baez, Susan Sontag, and Deepak Chopra. So you know what type of retreat this is. So now you know what Don was going through, what he was trying to attempt to do. And you know what the vast majority of Americans today do not do. Yeah, I know that they were kind of touchy-feely, how do you feel? And how does it make you feel? You know, and the person would say, well, they'd say how they felt. And then the leader of the group would say, how does that make you feel thinking that or saying that? I'm thinking at it. I'm going to pull out my hair. What kind of nonsensical BS is that? But there's a point to it, believe it or not. And yes, I'm going, some of you are going to fall on your face when I say this. I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to not. Read the Bible. God is internal. So believe it or not, they're being very biblical. To what ails each of us and this nation. mind to look for answers and solutions. Be what you want them to be. You're always going to be somebody else who's even more external, it'll fix the problem. No. That's a bad opportunist when they're taking advantage of you to elevate themselves. A good opportunist alternative to Obamacare. And you got Republicans that run around trying to think, well, we need to come up with an alternative. No, you don't. That's the whole point. You don't let the bad opportunists who are totally external run the debate and set the agenda. You don't fall into their trap. You say, hold on, time out. Boom. No, the best idea we have is no idea. Getting the government out of it, allowing the individual to be able to handle their own health care themselves, between them and their doctor, nobody else in between, period. That should be the idea. We don't have medical externists, do we? No, we have medical internists. Why? Because everything happens on the inside. Seriously, I mean, even if you get skin cancer, it's going to affect your what? Your internal organs. Everything happens on the inside. That's why we don't have medical externists. We have medical internists. I mean, come on, let's face it, folks. The whole being of human nature. Look, you know, animals. You know, the left is so enamored with wild creatures. Well, do you think a wild creature ever sits around and says, okay, if we get together here, I want, I want the rest of the bear community to provide me with my sustenance. You know, I want the bear community to be able to find me and provide me with a cave or some area that I can hibernate safely. Each individual bear has to find their own way. They have to survive on their own. Because that's the way the entire world universe is designed. And whenever there's an external force that comes to interact, it's all, if you look in the universe, it's always devastating. You know, hey, if an asteroid or meteor or whatever enters Earth's atmosphere and hits Earth's atmosphere, what happens? It's an external thing, and it comes attacking the Earth. It's not a good thing. There's devastation that's going to follow. But when the Earth is left alone to be itself and to contain everything and provide all the resources that are necessary for life on the planet, what happens? Life flourishes. But you bring in that external element, whatever it is, whether it be an asteroid or a meteor or a comet or anything else that comes in or close to the Earth, there is definite, absolute destruction. It's never a good thing. So why are we looking to the external when the universe understands internal is harmony and balance, external is chaos and destruction? Plain and simple. I don't know how else to say it, folks, but you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And speaking of internal versus external, if we look at the Middle East, Middle East is a prime example of internal versus external. We were the external force that disrupted Iraq. We went into Iraq. We're the external force, and we devastated them internally. And then, without rebuilding them internally strong, this president left them, unable to really keep their internal systems in place. And now we have a near total defeat of Iraq. We're the next president of the United States has got to go into Iraq. I'm sorry. We have got to go in, be the external force again, in order to fix the mess that we created by leaving before we strengthen their internal force. Because there is Ramadi has fallen to ISIS. In fact, it was a terrible disaster and defeat for the Iraqi forces. A total collapse of the elite Iraqi units are routed in Ramadi offensive by ISIS. And that puts ISIS 60 miles outside of Baghdad. Do you realize what this means? It means that even Syria has not yet fallen to ISIS, but Iraq, the country that, you know, we're the ones that were supposed to have created this new modern Iraq, is about to fall. They're about to fall. And this is due to the fact that we have a man-child as president who doesn't know how or doesn't want to stand up to these radical externists. And you think, I'm sorry, externalist. Externalist, Rod? Yeah, ISIS is external to Iraq. You know, all wars are that way too. You've got this external army or government that wants to take over a particular country. So they go into the country. And what happens after that? After the destruction and devastation and death. The three D's. Destruction, devastation, and death. And that's what's going on in Iraq right now. Destruction, devastation, and death. And it is due to our external issues. Because we weren't thinking about the people of Iraq. We need to get out of Iraq, man. Kind of like Vietnam. Get out of Iraq. This president said he was going to get us out of Iraq. Get us out of Iraq. Because we were thinking externally. In a selfish sort of way. Because we wanted the world to love us. And if we only capitulated to what those external forces wanted, they would all love us and everybody live in peace and harmony. Well, evidently, somebody didn't give ISIS a Coke. Because they're not living in peace and harmony over there. I mean, look. Now, here's a story from Hot Air. When ISIS began its attack on Ramadi last week, the Iraqi government threw in its elite units hoping to stem the tide of the radical Sunni advance and the overall targeting of Baghdad. Instead of pushing ISIS back, what transpired was a repeat of the fight from Mosul in other former Iraqi strongholds. A disorganized rout of Iraqi forces. So, if your so-called elite can't stand up to a bunch of ragtags who were not formally trained, I mean, let's face it, ISIS is not a nation, and these soldiers of ISIS are not all formally trained. And it doesn't mean that an informal force can't beat a formally trained force. Look, it's how this country got started. You know, George Washington and the Revolutionary Army, most of them were not formally trained soldiers, but they lost most of their battles. But when it came right down to it, they put a hurting on the formally trained British Army and Navy and won the war. Sure, there was a little bit of help from France, especially when it really counted. But you know what? Everything else in between was all about those men in the Revolutionary Army. It was about George Washington. You know, there's a program on AMC called Turn. Now, I haven't watched a single episode of it yet. And maybe it'll be my new Mad Men. Now that Mad Men is over, I'm going to have to like try to binge watch. If it catches my attention, I'll binge watch Turn. Now, I don't know how accurate it is, historically speaking. But the premise... I see the previews. George Washington's in trouble. George Washington is this. It's never any good. And from what I know of American history, George Washington was very good at retreating. You know, and mostly because he had a bunch of ragtag men that were ill-equipped and ill-prepared to handle face-to-face the formally trained British Army. You know, at the particular time, the most powerful military on the planet. It seemed like wherever the British went, they would win. So it was. Sometimes it behooved Mr. Washington to fully understand when it was time to retreat and fight another day. But you know what? He didn't look to the external and complain and whine. He's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't have all these guys. Somebody's going to come in and help. No. Sure, there were times that they sent emissaries and tried to enlist France to help them because after all, France and England and Britain at the time were enemies, sworn enemies. So So, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing. And hey, let's face it, it's a good thing that France did that because, you know, we ended up returning the favor twice for them in history. Although I think they've forgotten it. Yeah, France owes us one, actually. We saved them in World War One, and we saved them again in World War Two. So we paid them back for the Revolutionary War help that they were reluctant to give us in the Revolutionary War. We paid them back in World War One by, you know, giving them back their country and their freedom. And then we got one up. If you're going to keep score, you know, we're one up on them for World War Two. But I have no doubt that even if France didn't help that particular day that actually ended the war in the favor of the United States or the revolution in Washington, that Washington would have found a way to retreat, fight another day, and find victory. Because it was all coming from within. It was all coming from their own personal beliefs, every single one of those men, even if they were not formally trained in the army, it was all coming from within. They were saying, you know, we've got to find a way within us to do this. They were not depending on France. And we could see in many different programs and historical documents and things like that, that they were not depending on France. Yes, they were thankful and they could use France's help. France helped at the most opportune times, but they were trying to make it without France's help. This was all internal. Do you understand? This was not external stuff. You know, external is always devastating in one fashion or another. And we're seeing that with our own people when we start looking for government, which is external to each individual, to solve our problems, to handle our problems, to give us opportunity. Government can't do that. That has to come from within. It's a hard lesson that we're learning. And I hope to God that we learn it in time. Because if we don't, it's going to take something very strong, like probably another Revolutionary War, to get us all to think internally again and to get rid of an overbearing external government. Don't doubt me, folks. Don't doubt me.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful. Woo! There you go, buddy.
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month, and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Four is the number to call should you wish to join me live here on the Rod Eccles Show. There's a smoking gun out there. What did Hillary know, and when did she know it? That is the question being posed. That seems to be there seems to be an answer for. And, of course, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton and a Secretary of State in Benghazi. Judicial Watch, and this is a WND.com story, Judicial Watch has obtained previously classified documents from the U.S. Department of Defense and the Department of State, revealing that the Department of Defense almost immediately reported that the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, was planned and carried out by Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood-linked terrorists. But you still have, by the way, you still have the AP out there trying to voice this. Oh, that was a video, man. The video was the problem. But speaking of the video, by the way, there's another story here. It was, where did I see it? It's in my paper pile. There we go. The video that supposedly, and this is from the Politico, by the way, the video that supposedly was the reason for the Benghazi attack and many other terrorist attacks across the globe around this time, was taken down. But an appeals court lifts a takedown order on so-called anti-Muslim video. Now, a federal appeals court has voted to lift an order requiring Google to take down a controversial anti-Muslim video that led to protests against U.S. embassies in 2012 and was claimed for a time to have triggered the deadly attack on U.S. facilities in Benghazi. Claimed for a time. But we go back to the original story here on WND, and according to Judicial Watch, and they're obtaining previously classified documents from the Department of Defense, the DOD almost immediately reported that the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was planned and carried out by Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood-linked terrorists. And it wasn't due to, just a random response to a video, which at that time, nobody really had seen. It was, I think it had less than 100 views. So in order for people to get enraged, you got to have all these people. What is it? I can't remember. I think it was less than even 10. It wasn't many views. Was it 10 or 40? Four seems to come to mind. So either it was 4 or 40. In any case, that's not enough to get people to start marching in the streets and rioting and killing American citizens. Sorry, it's other people are going to have to see it. And people over there did not see it. You know, because, you know, YouTube has one of those, they have the ability to tell who's watching it from where. They got to know stuff about who's watching what so they can target ads to them. You know, because that's how, you know, YouTube pays for itself, as well as, you know, all these people are making money on YouTube. It's a lot of it's to do with advertisers. So a federal court ordered the government to hand over more than 100 pages of previously secret documents that showed then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and other senior Obama officials were given reports within hours of the September 11, 2012 attack. In those memos, the DOD described details of a plan 10 days in advance to kill as many Americans as possible. Now, for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, DOD is the three-letter acronym for Department of Defense. You know how many three-letter three-letter agencies we have? I'm just saying out loud. We got a homeland. We call it Homeland Security, right? But it's still like a three-letter acronym. They had everything to do with terrorists, from brigades of the captive Omar Abdul Rahman, the so-called blind sheikh. I know some people pronounce it sheikh, but it's actually pronounced sheikh. Now, on the video, a three-judge Ninth Circuit panel held last year that the actress Cindy Garcia should prevail in her demand for an injunction against Google because she had a strong claim to copyright protection in her brief performance. However, the larger Ninth Circuit panel reached the opposite conclusions. Although we do not take lightly threats to life or the emotional turmoil Garcia has endured, her harms are untethered from and incompatible with copyright and copyright's function as the engine of expression. So wrote Judge Margaret McKeon. Wrote an opinion for a total of nine judges on the panel. Privacy laws, not copyright, may offer remedies tailored to Garcia's personal and reputational harms. On that point, we offer no substantive view. Ultimately, Garcia would like to have her connection to the film forgotten and stripped from YouTube. Unfortunately for Garcia, such a right to be forgotten, although recently affirmed by the Court of Justice for the European Union, is not recognized in the United States. Ninth Circuit comes up with this. Saying, look, you participated in this thing, whether you got tricked, whether you think you got tricked or not, you participated. You could probably get, you know, you got compensated for it in whatever fashion you agreed to be compensated, and you're stuck with it. And your small part does not give you the right to have the entire thing stripped and removed from the control of those who produced it. Plain and simple. You know, again, she's looking for, Miss Garcia is looking for an external solution to her own internal turmoil, you know, her own stupidity. Look, she thought that this video was going to help her career. Plain and simple. There's only one. She wanted to be famous. And she thought this was going to, you know, help her achieve that goal. Look, if you make a bad decision or a bad choice, own up to it and move on. But you don't start blaming others for your own problems. Speaking of blaming, yeah, you know, folks, our external lifestyle, if you will, has bled over to our government. You know, it's always somebody else's fault for your problem or your mistake, right? Well, government is no different. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, blames a technical glitch for violating a judge's amnesty injunction. Now, folks, I don't know how you can be a government agency, and then you blame a computer glitch for your failure to adhere to a federal court judge's order. Oh, no. You knew what you were doing, and you did it on purpose. Yet, you know, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, I do believe it's pronounced J, J-E-H. I do remember I heard his name pronounced J. Waits to speak about the agency's budget and cybersecurity at Homeland Security. But a glitch, if a glitch can cause them not to follow the law, what other excuse are they going to come up with for them not following the law? Seriously. So we have, you know, there was a judge's order. The judge's order was pretty clear that, you know, you don't get to decide for yourself what constitutes, legal authority. It's been pretty clear, you know, what that legal authority is, and it is not by decree or by, you know, policy. You know, they argued, well, you know, it's policy. Our policy is kind of, you know, Loretta Lynch is, you know, she was one of the reasons why she should not have been confirmed is when she said that she would follow President Obama's policy and not the law when it came to dealing with amnesty for illegals. Well, no. Policy is not law. Policy is not even near the level of the law. The law is the law. So you've got to go ahead and follow the law, not policy. When policy conflicts with law, you follow the law. And it sets a dangerous precedent when you say and decide that you're going to follow policy instead of the law. Now you've elevated policy to a level higher than the law or superior to the law. So the policy is that, you know, according to Loretta Lynch is, you know, we're not going to, I'm not, my office and department is not going to enforce, any law that goes against President Obama's amnesty, proposal or policy. Well, that's illegal because his policy is not law. You know, law has a specific way of becoming a law. We should bring these back. They did come back briefly, I do believe. Schoolhouse Rock. Anybody out there under the sound of my voice, remember Bill. You know, I'm just a Bill sitting here on Capitol Hill. And kids learned how, you know, the basics of how we get a law. You know, somebody in the House or the Senate has to write the law, and then the House and the Senate has to pass the law, or excuse me, they have to write the bill for the law, and then the Senate and the House of Representatives they each have to pass the bill, saying that they want it to become law, and then the president has to sign it into law, and if the president vetoes it or says no, he doesn't want it to be a law, then it goes back to the Senate and the House, and they can override the president's veto with a 2/3 positive vote in favor of the bill to become law. And in any case, if one of those two things happens, the president signs it or the House and the Senate override the veto, it becomes a law. And nowhere in there, and that's all per the Constitution. And nowhere in there is there anything about about presidential policy. You see, we're a nation governed by laws, not governed by men. And when you start talking about, well, policy is the equivalent or superior to law, well, now you're talking about a nation governed by men, not by law. And that is clearly not the Constitution. It is clearly not what the Founding Fathers intended. I don't care how you view it. There is no possible way that you can tell me with a straight face that the Founding Fathers intended for the president to have this sort of super constitutional authority and power. They did not. In fact, you know, one of the reasons that we have a presidency that is a co-equal to the other two branches of government is simply because when they offered a kingdom or kingship to the person they wanted to be king, he said, well, we're not a nation of men. We should not be a nation ruled by men. You know, we've seen that doesn't work. We need to be a nation ruled by law. And indeed, that eventually, you know, even in England and Britain, they became a nation ruled by law because, you know, they forced the king and the queens to abdicate more and more and more power and authority until they're now just a simple figurehead. So even a kingdom such as Great Britain is actually a nation governed and ruled by law, not by men or women. So it's very clear what the Founding Fathers wanted here. They didn't want a king or a queen. They didn't want an emperor. They didn't want a potentate. They didn't want a Caesar. They didn't, you know, they wanted a president, duly elected by the general populace that was legal to vote in this country. That's it. So in order to get to that, you have to be a nation that is governed and ruled by law, so that no matter who the ruler or president is, should not be a ruler, but Obama thinks of himself as a ruler. Whoever the president is, the law doesn't change. And it cannot change on a whim. Policies can change. You know, how they go about doing certain things and approaching certain things, especially on foreign affairs, that can change from president to president because that's not set in the law. But a policy as far as what laws you're going to follow and what laws you're going to ignore, no, that is not legal. Not legal. You don't get to choose which laws that you're going to uphold. That's not the constitutional way. And I don't care how you slice it and dice it, you can't tell me otherwise. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Well, you know, remember the O.J. Simpson trial murder trial. You know, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Well, this doesn't fit. Policy superseding law. And, you know, this is what the DHS and Johnson was trying to do. He was trying to supersede law by adhering to President Obama's policies on illegals. But that's not the law. The law dictated that Mr. Johnson, Secretary Johnson, do his constitutional duty and handle within the legal limits of the law all the illegal immigrants that they come across. And when a judge decided, you know what, Obama cannot by fiat just decide to change the law through an executive order. So, you know, Department of Homeland Security, you have to follow the law and you have to forgo and forget about Obama's policy. And yet the Department of Homeland Security decided, well, you know, we're going to just follow the president anyway. And then when they get caught, they're going to say, oh, my word, you know, there was a glitch in the program, the computer program, that that we didn't recognize at first that kept us from doing our job that we're supposed to do legally. And, you know, we were just going by things. Now, I'm sorry, you have a federal judge that tells you that you can't do it. And yet you still do it anyway. And then you're going to blame a computer glitch for the reason why you still do it, when you shouldn't have done it in the first place. I mean, they're looking for an excuse because they got caught. And the funny thing is that this administration, people in this administration get caught all the time. But unfortunately, none of it seems to be sticking to Obama. I know we got people, you know, patriot after patriot and supposed patriot after supposed patriot, a bunch of people from all different walks of life, socioeconomic walks of life, and even ethnic backgrounds walk of life, have been calling for the impeachment, ouster, and removal of this president as president. So this isn't about a singular event. This is not a singularity event. This has happened before with Obama. Obama's always trying to, you know, outsmart, outthink, out whatever. All the people that are trying to keep him in check. Well, let's face it, he's not that smart. But, you know, you can say what you want, but Obama really isn't all that smart. And the point is that this man needs to be put in check. And we don't have those in power on the Republican side who are in the leadership who seem to be willing to do that. And this is a glaring example. When, what do you do with the Department of Homeland Security secretary when he says, oh, well, it was just a glitch that we weren't keeping the judge's orders? Well, you know what you're doing. You know that, you know, in order to not follow the judge's order, you have to be following Obama's policy. And you know that the judge said, no, you can't do that. So, you know, whether you have it in your computer or not, you got to know that you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. So I'm sorry if, you know, but the American people seem to buy. Well, I don't know if they actually buy it. The lamestream media seems to think that we should buy this kind of malarkey. This kind of BS. Absolutely amazing. It all stems from arrogance, folks. The arrogance that they think that they have the right to rule over you, not to govern, to rule over you. Just like Hillary. Hillary now is running around. And she's, you know, not answering questions of reporters because she thinks that she's a ruler and not looking for permission from the electorate to govern them. No, she thinks that she can do, she's taken a cue from Obama because, you know, he thinks that his crap don't stink and he can do whatever he damn well pleases. You know, because I'm the president. Buck stops here. I'll take responsibility. And then when something goes wrong, he's the first person that says, well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do that. Think about it. This guy is constantly saying that he's the president, and that he's ultimately responsible. But whenever the responsibility starts to fall on his shoulders, he's like, hold on, not my fault. And he comes up with an excuse. You know, somebody once said, if you'll use any excuse, then you'll use any excuse. Plain and simple. It's as, you know, plain as a, you know, light of day and night, night and day, that type of thing. We're supposed to be a nation governed by law, not ruled, governed. We're not a nation ruled by men. We're a nation governed. I don't know how many times I have to say this, because law, being governed by law, means that it's all internal now. When you want to be ruled by somebody, such as in a king or a Caesar or a potentate or a dictator or what have you, this is an external factor that comes into your private world and private life and screws everything up. Hello, Obamacare. You know, a lot of people thought, well, you know, yeah, we don't want Obamacare, but, you know, he says this is going to be the new thing, the new wave. Everybody else around the planet's got this thing, so maybe we should. And then they get, because it's an external thing, and then they get it, and they realize, well, Jesus, this is clashing and destroying their internal belief of what healthcare should be, and they throw their arms up, because there's nothing they can do, they think, because now they're not being governed, they're being ruled. That's a sad thing. Hey, folks, we're out of time for today. We will be back here tomorrow. Same bat time. Same bat channel. I'm Rod Eccles. This has been the Rod Eccles Show. I'm out.